A happy Sabbath. As the thunder booms in the background. That's not me, I could promise you. Mr. Yates isn't speaking today, so you don't get his booming voice. I'd like to welcome all of those that are visiting today. Those on the internet, hello to you. We're sorry that you can't be here with us today. And welcome you young people here today. This is a great to see everybody here. We've got a full house. So, and of course, we have the Robins are back, so it's always nice. David, Joseph, Mary, Daniel, Esther, Jesus Christ, Samson, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the 12 disciples, what do all of these have in common? Well, they were all young when God started to work with them. Just a show of hands today, how many are between the ages of 12 and 19? Please raise your hand. That's half the congregation here today. All right. Well, guess what? The ones that didn't raise their hands that were over the age of 12 were your age once too. Believe it or not, I was once 18, 19 years old. I know that's hard to believe. Some of you are sitting there shaking your heads. But you know, that means that we've been there, we've done that, and we hope that you learn and don't make the same mistakes that we do. That's why we try to teach you how to do right from wrong. And I'll prove this to you. Because if you're a young person and you saw a two-year-old going to reach to the stove to touch it when it's hot, would you try to stop them? Of course you would, right? Because you know that that stove is hot. So when we, as older people, come to you and say, hey, you know, maybe you should fill in the blank, and you don't listen, it's the same thing as that two-year-old not listening to you and is going to touch a stove and burn their hand. So this message today, believe it or not, if you can guess, is geared towards the young people. So you older people in the crowd, don't tune out because you're young too, right? God, there's no age, time limit with him. But please, young people, pay attention, because I hope that you'll find this information useful for your everyday lives. So the title of my message today is The Importance of Youth to God. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to take a look in the Bible of several different men and women, or young men and women, and see what kind of character traits that they had, and then what you could possess and learn from those examples as well. But let's begin our story in Genesis chapter 1. Like any good story, we're going to go to the beginning of the book. We're going to see a very important lesson here. Genesis 1, verse 26. It says, and God says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God had created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then dropping down to verse 31, he says, and God saw that everything he made, and indeed it was very good. It wasn't just okay. It wasn't just all right. It was very good. And he created us to look and act like him. He wants us to be just like him, just like my kids. I wanted my kids to be like me. The only difference is I wanted my kids to be better than me. And I don't know if we could be better than God, but it's a pretty good standard. But that means that everybody, all of us, young and old, are important to God. And he wanted us to reproduce and have families. And then we can grow up to appreciate how he feels about us. Because he created us to be a part of that family. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. God created us for a purpose. He didn't just randomly just pick up some dirt, put it up together and go, oh, look at that. That's a human. He made us for a reason. And it's important we understand this when we're going through life, because sometimes life is hard, isn't it? Like, we don't really know where we're going. We don't know what our purpose or our plan is. Let me tell you what your purpose is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. That is your purpose. Your purpose is to be God's child. How special is that? Therefore, the world does not know because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not been yet revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. I can't wait for that time. And all you young people, that's something to look forward to. Young people, children are very special to God. You are very special to God. We read about that in Psalm 127, where God says that you are a gift. You are a heritage. He looks at you as being very important in his life, in his family. He wants you to grow up, to learn, to have a relationship with him, and to be just like him. Remember, I wanted my kids to be like me. God wants us to be just like him. And believe it or not, young people, you have the ability and the access to God's calling through your parents. Did you know that? Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Because don't believe me, let's read it from the Bible. Let's hear what God has to say. You have direct access to God through your parents. Something that most people don't have in this world. Acts 2:38. And Peter said to them, "Repent. Let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 39. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call. Young people, you have a blessing that's been given to you. You have something that you can't put a price tag on. And as you get older, you'll learn to appreciate that more and more. Because I always used to say that youth is wasted on the young. Because I never realized how important the youth was when I was younger. I didn't realize how important knowledge was. But again, you have that ability to do that. So, let's take a look at some people in the Bible who were young, just like you, and see what we can learn. The first one we're going to look at is Joseph. And you could begin turning to Genesis 37. Joseph was the 11th of 12 sons that were born by Jacob and Rachel. Joseph's mom died while giving birth to his brother Benjamin. Imagine how difficult that would have been to grow up and not have a mom. You know, he had to be raised by his father's handmaid and by his dad. His father, Joseph, he made him his favorite. He was his special child because he was the first one born to him with the wife that he truly loved. You remember the story about Jacob and Leah and how he had to work some extra years for her? Well, we'll pick up the story in Genesis 37, verse 1. Joseph, not Jacob. Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was, a stranger in the land of Canaan. It says, and this is the history of Jacob. Joseph, notice this, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. 17. I don't know about you guys, because I saw a lot of you raise your hands, and I'd imagine a lot of you around the age of 17. When I was 17 years old, if we had a flock, there was no way my parents would put me in charge of that. I couldn't be responsible if they were standing in front of me. Right? I wanted to, but I didn't. 17 years old. He had the responsibility of watching after his family's flock. That says a lot about Joseph. Joseph was his father's favorite, and his brothers didn't like him very much. If you read in chapter 37, we find that Joseph was interpreting having some dreams that he was interpreting. And, you know, maybe he was using his father's, being the father's favorite a little bit to rub it in. But if you were siblings, if you have siblings, didn't you do that? If you have brothers and sisters, didn't you kind of rub it in? and give your brothers or sisters a hard time. I know if my sister's watching, I'm sorry. I mean, we have a better relationship today than we had when we were kids growing up. But maybe your parents gave you a special responsibility. Maybe they let you stay up late, or maybe they, you know, gave you an extra piece of candy or something. How did you handle that? You know, did you look at your brothers and sisters and rub it in and give them a hard time about it? Or were you the bigger person and accept the responsibility that you were older and you can handle it? Continuing the story of Joseph, his brothers wanted to kill him, and they developed a plan to throw him in a pit, dip his coat into some blood, and then tell his father that he was dead. So, this 17-year-old boy was without his family because he was sold to the Ishmaelites. He was sold into slavery. He didn't have his family around with him. And now he's headed to a place in Egypt that he has no idea where that was. He's probably never been there in his life. How would you feel? 17 years old, your brothers just tried to kill you, sold you off, and now you're a slave to some other land that you don't even know. I'd be scared. I don't know about you, but I'd be pretty scared, and I'd be upset. I'd be angry with my brothers if they did that. Let's continue the story in Genesis 39. Because remember, these are not just stories in the Bible. These are lessons that we can learn. And if you're young today, like I said, pay attention. This is good stuff. Joseph, verse 1, had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. The King James Version says that he was prosperous. 17. Could anybody say that about you today, 17-year-olds? I hope so. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And so Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. He made him overseer of his house, put all that he had under his authority. 17. I keep saying that because every time I read this story, it kind of just hit me like a ton of bricks. This is a 17-year-old kid we're talking about here. I say kid. Sorry, guys. I'm 55, so I can say that, right? I don't mean any disrespect, but I was, like I said, 17. I wish I was 17 again. Verse 5. So it was from this time that he had made him overseer of his house, that he had all that he had, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So it wasn't enough that God blessed Joseph, who was all alone in a land that he didn't even know, but he also blessed Potiphar's house. And the blessing from the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he had left him and all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. And then it closes this by saying, now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Hold that thought, because we're going to talk about that in a minute. But the first lesson that I want you to learn from this is that in order to have responsibility, you have to earn it. In order to have responsibility, you have to earn it. Joseph, at age 17, was in charge of a very powerful man's house in all of Egypt. I mean, this wasn't just given to anybody. But what qualities do you think they would have to have, or Joseph would have had to have, in order to be in that position? Anybody want to take a stab at it? You can talk. Honesty, trustworthy, hardworking, smart, dependable, perceptive, godly. I mean, you just don't step into this position without having certain qualities. He earned the respect of Potiphar and was given that responsibility because he followed God's ways. Hold your place here, I think. Let me make sure we're not going back to Jesus. Yes, hold your place here. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. Because I want to share with you a very important principle about this. Remember, we're talking about being responsible and earning responsibility. Luke 16, verse 10. It says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. So, if you can't clean your room, take out the garbage, do some of the chores around the house, you young people, if you can't do those little things, how can you expect your parents to want to give you more and take on the bigger responsibilities? You can't. You can't. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? So again, this goes back to the basic principles of if you can't handle something very minor, then not only will your parents not be able to give you things that are more, but God won't either. Verse 12, and if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? So like Joseph, if we want to be trusted, if you want to be trusted as a young person, you have to earn it. You know, if you want to be treated like a mature person, you have to act like one. That's the bottom line. You could write in your notes Galatians 6:5. It says that we are each responsible for our own conduct. So, young people, how do you conduct yourselves? I'm not talking about here at church, because everybody can conduct themselves great here, right? Everybody looks good. They all smell good, right? Hair's combed. But when you leave here, what do you do between the Sabbaths? How do you conduct yourself when nobody's watching you? What are you doing when you're on your cell phone? What are you watching? What are you listening to on the radio? Now, all these little things add up. Again, it's important that we understand the value that we have to have and earn that responsibility by being responsible. The second lesson, go back to Genesis chapter 39, is that Joseph had strong morals and values. Okay? Remember I told you when we closed in verse 6, it read that Joseph was handsome in form and appearance? Keep that in mind here. Genesis 39, verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said to him, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has in my hand. My master trusts me. Apparently he didn't trust his wife. It says, there was no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept anything back from me but you, because you are his wife. Now, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See, Joseph understood the principle that God says, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit fornication. He knew that. And he was teaching that to her and saying, look, I don't want to have any part with this. And so it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day, every day, that he did not heed her to lie with her, to be with her. But it happened about this time that when Joseph went into the house to do his work, none of the men were in the house that was inside. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. He didn't just walk away slowly. You know, he didn't look over his shoulder. He ran. He got out of there as fast as you could. But imagine this. 17 years old, and it says he was handsome in form and appearance. I bet you Joseph was one good-looking dude. He was probably muscular, fit, just a really good on the eye to look at. And by the way, he was all alone in the house. He had control of everything. He could have had anything he wanted. But he had strong morals and values. How about you, young people? How are your morals and values and standards? Because let me tell you something. This world is so short of that. It doesn't matter. We heard about in the sermonette about being a virgin. Right? Very few people in this world today are. You know, are you able to control your hormones and your urges? You know, young people, when you are going around, I know guys, I know how guys are, and girls, you're boy crazy too. I get it. But there's an important principle to understand. If we go back to that, and you read in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, you can put it in your notes, it says, flee youthful lusts. And he tells you to flee youthful lusts because you will get in trouble. Because your hormones sometimes are stronger than your own thoughts in your head. 1 Corinthians 6:18, you can put that in your notes. It says, flee fornication. Fornication is voluntary sexual intercourse between two unmarried persons or two persons not married to each other. I looked online. According to Women's Health Interactive, 75% of Americans have had premarital sex by the age of 20. 75%. Those morals and values need to be strong. You need to develop those early in your life and carry them forward with you. Because when you get married, then it would be special to your spouse. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. You could put that in your notes. It says, abstain from all appearances of evil. This means that you don't put yourself in certain situations, young people. Don't pair off. Don't go off on single dates when you're younger. You know, you may not be doing anything wrong, and it may be all innocent, but how would others see it? How does God see it? You know, the old saying, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do if he was there and he saw you do that? Again, don't put yourself in a situation that you may not be able to get yourself out of, because we've all been there before. Older people like me were once your age too. We know what that's like. Which is why I'm telling you, keep those morals and values strong in your life. The second person I want to talk about is Esther. And you could begin turning to Esther if you want. Esther was an orphan from the tribe of Benjamin, who lived with Jewish exiles in Persia. And she was raised by her cousin Mordecai, because both of her parents had died. Again, another young person that was without a parent. In this case, she was without mother and father. But let's look and see what kind of character Esther had. The king at the time was looking for fair virgins to be brought into his palace, and she was to be a part of his harem. According to Answers.com, Esther was likely a young teenager when this took place. So we see a little theme going on here. Okay, Esther chapter 2, verse 9. It says, and the maiden pleased him. We're talking about the person who was over the king's harem. And she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens, which were meat given to her out of the king's house. I mean, this is a young girl, call her 15, 16, 17 years old, who found favor in a man's house here, in the king's house, in the harem. And not only did she have the responsibility given to her, she also had people to help and minister to her and help her. And he preferred her and her maids to the best place of the house of women. This brings me to the lesson that we can learn from Esther. And the lesson that we can learn from Esther is to have respect, or to show respect. Respect, according to the dictionary, is the condition of being esteemed or honored. Now, there's a difference between respect and honor. Okay, honor, according to the Hebrew, means something heavy or weighty. Honor carries a very deep meaning. And honor is something that you give. And we read in the Bible that we are to honor our parents, that we are to honor the king. Respect, on the other hand, is something that you earn. And respect, unfortunately, in this world is absent. And it's absent especially from our young people. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I say respect for Esther because Esther did earn the respect of the harem's boss. And she showed that boss respect. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been given the responsibilities that she had either. Again, a young teenage girl, a virgin, somebody who kept herself, who had good, strong morals and values, was now in the king's court and getting ready to be groomed to be a queen. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. And I want to walk through some of the character traits that are going on here because this, to me, screams disrespect. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. We are in those last days. We are closer today than we were yesterday to the return of Jesus Christ. Just look around you. And you can read the news. It doesn't take rocket science to figure out. We're in a world that is going downhill extremely quickly. And it gives some character traits here. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, and blasphemers. Okay, we see disrespect here all abroad. I mean, you know, people are only thinking about themselves. They don't care about anybody else. That's what a selfish person does. And they don't care about showing respect to others. They want you to show them respect, but they don't want to respect anybody else. It goes on, it says, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. And that's the opposite of what God says, that we should be thankful and holy and loving and forgiving. We should be respectful and showing respect to others. And how do you do that? You show respect to others by loving them. Loving God, loving your neighbor. Those are the Ten Commandments. It continues on. It says, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. We don't even know what good anymore is. Oh, you want to be a girl today? You could be a boy tomorrow. You could be whatever you want to be. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's disrespectful to God. People here don't even have in the country, in this world, don't have respect for God. They don't want to have a relationship with God. They don't want to try to do better. It's so easy to just give up and go with the flow, isn't it? That's why God says that the way to the kingdom is through that narrow path, that narrow gate. Because it's hard. But notice what he says. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. So they're pretending to be nice. People pretend. They put on a face. He says, from such people turn away. Don't even associate yourself with those types of people. Again, because respect is so important to God. So how can you be respectful? What are some ways that you could be respectful? Well, you could be polite. Be nice. Okay? It's not, you know, we all know that you young people are tough. We all know that. I mean, I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof once too. I know what that's like. Right? I thought that, you know, I could do anything and I could be anything. And, you know, I didn't have to be nice to you. I had a lot of hard lessons to learn about that in my life. How about listening? Paying attention. Don't interrupt. Carry on a conversation with somebody. Put your cell phones away and stop texting and start talking to people. Communicate with people. Show respect by having those conversations and listening and engaging with other people. Don't be sarcastic. Hey, I'm telling you all this because I was like this too, okay? So remember, I'm telling you, when I'm up here talking, you're hearing my whole life story here. And if I'm telling you don't be sarcastic and to be genuine, it's because I was sarcastic and I wasn't genuine. I was a smart aleck. I'm not proud of it. That's why I'm up here trying to teach it. How about calling those that are older than you Mr. and Mrs.? Not by their first name. They're your elders. That's how we show them respect. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2. Because there's an example of disrespect in the Bible that it's important that we understand. Sorry if I get a little bit fired up about this. Like I said, I wish I had listened more to somebody like me when I was younger too. Mr. Bedetti knows.
I've been there.
He's been there. He's the OG. 2 Kings 2, verse 23. This is talking about Elijah, who's a prophet from God. He says, then he went up from there to Bethel, and he was going up the road. And some youths came from the city and mocked him, saying, go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head. So we see here some young people were making fun of somebody who was unfortunately follically challenged. And I could say that because as I start combing my hair, I'm realizing that I'm becoming one of those too. But they were also making fun of his age. It was a combination of things. It was really just disrespect on all levels. So he turned around and he looked at them and he pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 youths. 42 young people lost their lives because they did not show respect. Those people who are older than you, young people, they do command respect. Esther was a teenager who had demonstrated many good qualities. She had respect for her uncle, she had respect for her king, and she had respect for those that were in charge. But more importantly, Esther had respect for God. Let's go back to Esther chapter 4. Because if we read on in the book of Esther, we see that a certain leader named Haman had stirred up some trouble and caused the king to make a decree to kill all the Jews in one day, including Esther, who was a Jew herself. So pick up the story in Esther chapter 4. Let's see how she handled the situation. Esther 4, verse 15. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai. It says, go and gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days nor 3 nights. And my maids and I will fast likewise. And I will also go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Esther had such respect for God that she was willing to die for what she believed in. How about you, young people? How much respect do you have for God? How is your relationship with God? Are you starting to develop a relationship with God? Do you take time to fast? Or is that just an atonement thing? Because you have to fast. See, Esther's example should be a wake-up call for all of us that God is watching us. He sees everything that we do and he pays attention. And again, showing that respect is important to God. It's important because it shows how we love others. And it shows God that we're keeping his commandments. The third person or people that I want to talk about today is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I say person, but they're three individuals, but they all did the same thing. But according to the complete book of Who's Who in the Bible, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were three Hebrew youths who, along with Daniel, were taken to Babylon as hostages by King Nebuchadnezzar in 605 BC. And they may have been from royal descent as they were handpicked by the king to serve in his court. And they underwent a 3-year course in instruction in the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And they were considered to be wise men. According to Answers.com, these boys ranged in ages from 13 to 17 years old. Think about what life was like for them. They were torn away from their families. And now they were serving a different king. And they had to learn a different language and learn a different lifestyle than they were used to at 16, 17 years old. Again, I'll ask you, young people, how would you have fared in that situation? I would have been crying like a baby, right? I'd have been scared out of my mind. Like, why? I would have been fighting it all the way. Let's go to Daniel 3. Daniel 3. Let's see what our lesson for our young men in Daniel 3. The lesson that we're going to learn here is about faith. To have faith. Daniel 3. King Nebuchadnezzar had made a golden image that everybody had to bow down to. He commanded everybody, great and small, to bow down to this idol. And if they didn't, they were going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. So when the music started to play and everybody bowed down, all these three boys, they just stood there. And I always picture in my mind like this big field, and there's like, you know, thousands of people, and the music starts playing and everybody goes down and they just stood there. I mean, if you were the only person standing out of a crowd of 1,000 people, like I said, you'd stick out like a sore thumb. So the king found out about it. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Again, these were teenage boys. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego so that they brought these young men before the king. The king was upset, right? Nebuchadnezzar spoke and he said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I've set up? Now, if you're ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn and the flute and the harp and the lyre and the psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I made," in other words, I'm going to give you another shot here, "good. But if you do not worship, then you will be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" And he must have said that with just a smirk on his face that you just wanted to smack off. "If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king and said, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter.'" This is a teenage boy saying this. "Respectfully, if that's the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Would you have had that kind of faith to stand up to the king? I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm 55. I wouldn't be able to do that now. I don't know. Let alone a 17-year-old or a teenager. But these young people had faith in God that no matter what would happen, they would rather obey God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. And hold your place here in Daniel because we're going to come back. Proverbs chapter 3. This is probably turning out to be one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible because it's so practical. And yet it's so difficult sometimes to do. Proverbs 3:5. Remember, we're talking about trust. Faith. Proverbs 3:5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Not some of it. Not a little bit. Not the part that you really want to. He says, "Trust in God with everything that you have. And lean not to your own understanding." Young people, I wish I would have learned this lesson when I was your age. I wish I would have. But unfortunately, it's taken me over 50 years to try to figure this out. And I still haven't gotten it yet. But don't make the same mistake that I did. Don't try to figure all the things out on your own. Don't try to fix all your problems. Put your faith in God and trust him that he's going to take care of you. Remember, you were made in his image, in his likeness, to be in his family. He is not going to give up on you if you have faith and trust in him. What would have happened if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't fully trust in God? You know, I also think, too, they could have just faked it. They could have just took a knee. Or they could have bowed down and go, well, we're really not going to do this, but. But they didn't. They stood there and they had the faith in God that no matter what was going to happen, they were not going to follow what a man told them to do because it contradicted what God said to do. Verse 6, in all your ways, again, not some of them, not only the part that you want, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. You have to be fully committed to having faith in God and not in yourself. And you know what? That is how you build your faith. Because you just don't wake up one morning and go, I'm going to have faith today. And there it is. No, faith is something that you build and you work on. It involves a relationship with God. It involves trials. It involves things in your life, that little things that I think back from when I was younger. Some of the events that happened in my life happened for a reason. I broke down in the middle of a snowstorm one time, and somebody came and helped me. That built my faith. What builds your faith? The word acknowledge, again, means to be fully acquainted and having a relationship with God. And if you're feeling lost, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling discouraged, talk to God and tell him about your problems. Because he's listening to you, young people, and he wants to hear from you. And he'll help you. Let's go back to Daniel. Because these three young men did get thrown into the furnace. They did. And you know what? Not only did they not get burned up, their clothes didn't even smell like they had smoke on them. I don't know about you. How many of you have been to a bonfire? Right? I stink for 3 days after a bonfire. And I'm not even going in the fire. I'm just standing around. Daniel 3:28. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, what a turnaround, huh? Who sent his angel and delivered his servants, note, who trusted in him. He recognized this. And they frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve or worship any god except their own God. What an example that these three young men provided. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, will be cut in pieces and their house be made an ash heap. Because there is no other God who can deliver us like this. What an amazing turnaround. Notice this. He says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. God used the faith of these three men to teach this king a very valuable lesson. And the lesson is that God is supreme. And that his law is more important than the man's law. So I'll ask you as I close this section out for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, young people, whose lives can you change because of your faith? Number four, the fourth person I want to talk about is Mary, Jesus' mom. We don't really talk a lot about her, do we? According to Christianity.com, Mary was believed to have been somewhere between the ages of 12 and 16 years old when she had Jesus. During this time in history, Jewish girls would have been betrothed or engaged to their husbands as early as the age of 12. Now, today, of course, the age is much older than that. You know, if you go back, you know, thousands of years ago, that was more common. But I've often thought and wondered, why did God choose Mary? I mean, he could have chose anybody he wanted to. There was millions of people at the time. I'm sure he could have picked anybody. But I believe it was because she had this one quality that we're going to talk about. And that quality is godly character. Godly character. Character, according to the dictionary, means the aggregate feature and trait that forms the individual's nature of some person or thing, or moral or ethical quality. Okay, so the short answer is, character defines who you are. Your character says who you are. And I've said this before, character is literally the only thing that you're going to take from you from this life into God's kingdom. Because that's the one thing that God can't do for you, is create that character. He works with you to build it, but that character is something that is inside of you. It's either going to be good or it's going to be bad. But imagine as a young teenager being told that you were going to be chosen by God to have his son. What an incredible responsibility. Let's go to Luke 1. Again, we're talking about a young teenage girl. Luke 1:26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. Again, another young lady that kept herself pure and clean and had good morals and standards and values, who was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph by the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, and blessed are you among women." Again, that's a huge responsibility. Dropping down to verse 46, Mary gives then a song of thanksgiving. I'm only going to read a few verses here, but I want you to see what kind of person she was. Because she could have been like, "Look at me, everybody, I'm special." That's what I would have said if I was her age. That's what I used to say when I was her age. But what did she say? Then Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced to God, my Savior, for he has regarded," note this, "the lowly state of his maidservant." She wasn't thinking of herself as being something great or special. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, and for he who is mighty has done great things in me, and holy is his name. Mary was humble. She was humble. She didn't think highly of herself, and she didn't think she was better than anybody else. How about you, young people? What kind of character traits do you have? What kind of character are you building? Again, are you a know-it-all, or are you able to take criticism and compliments from other people well? Let's go to Isaiah 66. Let's see what God has to say about humility. We read this before. I think this fits perfectly here. Isaiah 66, verse 1. "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord." But he says, "On this one I will look." This is the person that I'm going to pay attention to. Okay? I've created everything. I'm over everything. I've done it all. I'm here. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look on the person who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. God took time and takes time out of his day to notice that special quality of being humble. God is watching all of us, and he wants us to build that character. Again, remember, we are made in his image and in his likeness. There's one more person that I want to talk about. This young man came into the church at age 5. And by age 12, he had completed the old correspondence course, which was about 60 lessons. At the age of 20, he went to the feast where he met the woman that he would marry. But something changed in this young man's life. He stopped going to church. He developed an addiction. And he even was his little league coach for his kids on Saturday. The love of God had left him, and he started to look and act like the rest of the world. On a Saturday morning, 20 years later, God had called this young man. Now, he fought it at first, but he always knew in the back of his mind that this was God's way. And he started attending church regularly, and he got involved in serving others instead of himself. And at the age of 40, this young man was baptized in God's church. And I stand before you today at age 55 that I am that young man. And the lesson that I want you to learn from this young people is do not ever walk away from God. Don't ever walk away from God. I promise you there's nothing good out there. There is nothing good out in this world. Because it always looks good on the outside, doesn't it? It always looks better. I tell you this story because, again, I wish that somebody had told me this when I was your age. That I was special. That there is a purpose. And that there is a future and a hope for all of us. That this world is going to pass away. And what you take out of this world is what's going to last for eternity. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah as I wrap this up. According to faithfulhouse.com, Jeremiah was 17 years old when he makes this comment. Another young person in the Bible. Jeremiah 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. God knows each and every single one of us before we're even born. And again, you were born with a purpose. Not just to be a nuisance or a hassle. You're born to be special. All of us. Every single one of us. From the young to the old. He says in verse 6, oh Lord, behold, I can't speak for I'm a youth. I'm just 17. What do I know? What can I do? But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, for you will go out to whom I will send you. And whatever I command you, you will speak. And do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. God is always going to be there for you. That's a promise. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And the only time that that'll happen is when you leave God. And even then, he's still going to be there. Because I'm living proof of that. I walked away. God didn't. There's an old saying years ago. It says, who moved? Who moved? I moved. You move. God doesn't move. God doesn't change. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So young people, let's remember the lessons that we learned today from the youth in the Bible. Joseph, that in order to have responsibility, you have to earn it. Joseph, who had strong morals and values and standards. Esther, who showed respect and gave respect, and she earned respect. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had faith. They trusted in God instead of themselves. Mary had godly character. Jeremiah, again, before you were born, God knew you. He's always there for you. And my story, don't ever walk away from God. Life goes on in the blink of an eye. Ask anybody who's older and they'll tell you how fast time speeds up. For those of you who have children, or who are children and are young adults, I'll challenge you to make the most of your life. This is the best time of your life. Live it to the fullest. Learn the valuable lessons that God is giving to you in the Bible. I'd like to close in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9 and 10. It says, "You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in all the days of your youth, and follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So go and have a good time, young people. But remember, God is always watching you. And he wants you to make the right decisions. So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body. For youth and vigor are meaningless. And remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Know that you are, young people, very special to God, and he expects you to act in a godly way, and he wants a relationship with each and every one of you. May you have a happy Sabbath and a nice weekend.